Welcome, guys, to the first ever WTF1 podcast. Cue cheering. Hey! I'm Matt, as you may know, and we've got a few guests along with us today. I'm not going to do that in those introductions. You are, and you're going to give me three wacky things about yourself that you're going to tell everyone so that everyone can get to know you.
That's quite a lot. More than one.
Less than four.
Wacky things.
Or just interesting facts.
Okay, I've got a interesting fact.
Okay.
When I was about nine.
What's your name first?
Oh, I'm Jeff. I'm Jess. But the interesting fact about me is when I was 10, I almost lost my foot. It was almost amputated.
Fucking heavy start to the podcast.
So I could have been.
And that's all right. Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
That's, how? Do you want
to. I mean, we don't really need to go into the gory details, but essentially, I just got like an infection in my foot. In my bone, actually.
Let's say it was a Formula One. You were training to be a Formula One driver.
Oh, yeah, trying to, obviously.
Yeah, crash. Yeah. Johnny Herbert version.
I'm not, I mean, is it?
Sorry, Johnny. Tommy, what about your, okay, one interesting fact, because three we're going to be
So when I was five, I nearly died.
I was like, he's actually trying to one-up
me. I was like, do I laugh right now? I'm not sure if he did actually
interesting fact, I've got a double-jointed thumb.
Oh, God.
Okay, no, that's gorier than Jess's foot.
At least my foot's still there.
Yeah, that's good to know. Your thumb's everywhere. And Alistair, you are behind the camera. You're kind of like a behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah.
So you've got this camera angle right here. Hello, hello, everyone. So you can see Alistair.
I mean, going off what everyone else is doing, I've broken both my wrists twice.
We've all gone for like. So you want to know a bit more about us? We're actually going like full on body.
Body
like,
impalements and all that stuff.
Okay.
And to make the full set, I stabbed myself with a chisel when I was in year nine, making a dovetail joint.
Was that for a box or a drawer?
A shelf.
I've still got a scar there from a school compass.
Should we stop talking about like...
Good. So the point of these WTF1 podcasts is to talk about motorsport and Formula One, not injuries. So we're going to go straight into car launches and testing, which is obviously the main point of this video, is to talk about the most relevant stuff. So let's move straight on to... What do we think about the 2018
cars? It's quite interesting as well because we've been in the office and obviously testing's been on for a while, last week, and all the car launches were before, but we've actually stopped ourselves from talking about it in the office. Yeah. Every time someone went to talk about it, we went, no, save it for the podcast.
Save all your ranting for later.
This is literally going to be...
Write it on the sheet.
That was the little catchphrase we had running. So this is actually the first time we're all really going to be
opening up
venting.
About
apart from you, you've had internet first reactions.
I have my own venting platform. So you guys all know my opinions and you're just going to shoot them down in this podcast.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So any outstanding thoughts about the 2018 cars?
Well, they look pretty much like they did last year.
With a halo,
which... is another thing that I found hilarious about the whole launches and testing, in that everyone, because there's nothing else to talk about, everyone was hating on the halo so hard. Like, it was all we would hear, you know, on every YouTube video, all over social, like when we were just looking at Twitter,
people were making flip-flop memes, idiot.
But now they're here, the haters stopped hating. Like, everyone is already...
There's been a lot less stuff.
People are getting used to it. That's just how
I haven't seen as much. Like, I thought when the first cars released, everyone would be like, halo, 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 halo. And actually, everyone's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, sidepods, liveries, blah, 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 etc.
Exactly.
And, it's not as bad.
Like, I've got WhatsApp groups with other F1 fans. And
not
my fans, just pointing out.
I've got no fans.
But but like other like F1 people, and they've all been messaging me going, is it like bad to say that I actually quite like the halos? I think they've actually, design wise, I think they've incorporated them a lot better than I thought. The Sean Bull helmet design livery concepts I thought would be like take it to that next level. Please, for 2019. But like, I hardly even notice them anymore.
I don't think they're that bad. And actually, I was looking, someone posted a picture of a 2016 car the other day, mm-hmm. and controversial opinion, but 2018 cars, regardless of the halo, look
2018
cooler.
2018 cars or 2018? 2018. You're kind of delayed, you're like, 2018
cars? 2018 cars? Yeah, look just as good, if not better, than the 2016 cars. Wow. Anyway, because the 2016 cars just looked
rubbish.
Stupid. You look back at them now with the super tall high wings, yeah. tiny yeah. tires. They look like toy cars, like a lot of people mentioned, and I think they look pretty awesome.
Well, that's the thing though. People will look back, just like we look back at the step nose, for example. We absolutely no hated that when it first came out, and then halfway through the season, no one said a word. And I think for me personally, it's looking at the exterior of the car looks great. But it's when I see it in T-cam, that's when I kind of get triggered. It's
yeah,
when you
true.
See
yeah.
the basketball hoop, which I said in Internet Reacts, it just looks dreadful.
Yeah,
so I hope they're going to incorporate some
it?
Different camera angles.
But I'm wondering though, because the whole idea is that the driver doesn't actually see it, do they? Because they're using all their peripheral vision. Mm. But with a camera, you can't, because it's not in 3D, like we at home can't see that. So all we see is that freaking
Yeah, because everyone commented on our post
screen.
About the video with the halo, like, well, how is this safe? They can't see anything. And it's like, well, I can still see perfectly fine by
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah.
But
it's, you know, can't, I mean, how can, I mean, where are they going to put the onboard cams? I mean, are they going to sit higher?
I thought I saw one on top
on
of
the
halo.
Yeah,
right,
in
okay.
the halo. There's like
because that'd
be good.
I think the teams and everything have done their, like, they've done their onboards because people want to see what it looks like with the halo. But actually by doing that, it's not what it actually looks like with the halo. Mm. So it's almost like, people are going to want to see it because it's the biggest thing to be added to the cars this year, but it's not actually what the drivers see. So it's kind of counterproductive,
yeah.
in my opinion. But, I mean, we're going to get more and more used to it as the seasons go on. And I think it probably helps that, you know, there's no open wheel racing without halo anymore. So right the way through the seasons, right? So Formula E's got it. And I guess like that, the season 5 car for in that respect is like it looked super aggressive, and actually the halo looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked part of the car.
It did
yeah.
like
yeah.
it was bolted on at the end, which is what I think the main concern for everyone
yes.
is that
yeah.
it still looks like it. But then there's that argument where like some people have painted it, and I still don't know what camp I'm in over this. That some people like Ferrari have painted it red to try and match the car and blend in. Some of them I think it looks worse, whereas McLaren left it black, and I think that actually works.
I think it works with
nicer.
The orange as well,
yeah,
so
yeah,
contrast.
Yeah,
it
I don't know, but the blue, because there's that blue there too. And I mean, I hate black and blue together anyway, like as a colour combo. But
I can see it in your eyes. Black and blue. Anyone wearing black and blue?
I was just like, am I wearing black and blue?
Second weird fact about me: I hate the colours.
Don't wear
black
and blue around Jess.
I think sometimes it can look nice, but generally speaking, I don't like it. So that for me on the McLaren, it really sticks out to me that there's a effing halo on the top. Whereas
I think it looks cool though. There's something about it. I genuinely think that it works because the McLaren has the big side pods, which are like painted all black, and then the halo is all black. So it's sort of like it just looks like an aero piece, whereas.
Mm.
I still think the Renault is the best solution and the best looking car.
Hell yeah.
Absolute country.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That is just
I'm not sure.
an awesome car. How can you not think the Renault is the best? Explain.
Sauber's the best.
It is so good.
Sauber looks like there's too much going on in one area and then not in the other. It's just.
It's classic. It's
classy.
Classic,
it is. Yeah. Everyone swoons over the Marlboro McLaren and there's no real difference there. It's just a classic, simple livery.
White
and
red.
Good.
Yeah.
But speaking of Toro Rosso, which just appeared on screen, I can't believe Matt voted 6 out of 10. I'm very disappointed.
6.8 actually, so
okay.
it's coming up to
it's
7.
They've kind of gone for Sauber's old blue, haven't they? They've made it brighter.
Oh
well,
yeah.
Which is cool.
I loved it.
I like that.
Like they set it apart from Red Bull. Like it's the same livery as last year, but they set it apart. It's just fucking awesome.
I think that's my favourite livery.
It's quite nice, yeah. It's just not Renault. It's just really good. Renault's just so much better. Anyway, let's move on to what wasn't used, which was the Red Bull camo livery, which they launched thinking that maybe we're going to see it in testing. We didn't even see it in testing.
So I've heard theories that it was because Daniel crashed, like, during the demo.
Oh.
And that because they only had it kind of ready for that and were going to use it then afterwards, that that
essentially
was
just a prototype.
I mean, I'm not sure if I think that's real or not, because I mean they're used to crashing and recovering liveries, so I'm not sure if that's exactly what happened. But I mean, they did, again, they said that they were going to launch their official livery at testing, and they never at any point said they were going to be testing in the camo. But oh my god, their camo liveries are always so cool.
Their testing liveries are always the coolest, I think.
It's like, how,
it's not as good as the original though.
It's not as good as what?
The original, the one that they've got is better. Yes, it is better.
How is the current livery better than that?
That is good. Oh, and so it looks cool. Awesome. Oh, but it's just a lesser good Toro.
Did you put sunglasses on today?
How is that a lesser
Put the original Red Bull
just
out, and the,
fit
the
all over.
Yeah, but the matte and the coloured Red Bulls that just pop on the mat looks absolutely amazing, and it's just, look at that. It's iconic. It's like modern iconic. Like in 10 years time, when Red Bull bugger off and everyone would be like, oh, do you remember how good the Red Bull was? It was such an awesome livery. I love Red Bull. And now everyone makes
that'll be you.
Well, yeah, probably, but
I think I agree, like, that, and especially as a spectator, it's a very recognisable, like when you're watching, like from your grandstand seat or your roaming ticket, whatever you've got, like, it's very easy to spot the bulls. And especially now that Toro Rosso has gone very, very blue, it separates them out. So from a spectator's point of view, yeah, it's iconic.
The camo on the track though, like if you look at the pictures of it on track, it looks amazing in a bright white studio where you can see all the little glitch paintwork and stuff.
You can't see it.
But you can't see it on the track. And it's the same with old cars where they've, like, everyone's always like, oh, I just released the car, like, all plain black. Like, I think Renault did it 1 year where they did that test car. And actually, the reality was, oh, it's a bit boring.
Yeah. Plus sponsors.
Yeah. So, Ali, you wrote down on the sheet, we're going to call it, Haas Rabbit.
The Haas Rabbit.
You started actually speaking to us about this, and then you were like, put it on the sheet, we'll talk about it now. What did you want to talk about it?
I have no idea what the bloody hell this Haas Rabbit is. Anyone aware of it?
I've actually got no idea. So this was at the end of their launch vid, right? For like a split second.
Yeah, it's on the car.
For a split second. Is it on the car?
Yeah, I know why. I'm just going to let you guys talk about it.
Tommy's like top drawing information, so we all look like idiots. And
I'll
he's like,
actually.
So go on then. What is it for?
And just Haas is hair in Dutch.
Right, good. Okay, that's so it.
That's the whole
pretty
reason.
Boring, yeah. They just stuck on the car because people in Holland like Haas, so it's a hair. Wow.
But they're not. Is it? Did you say Dutch?
Yeah.
None of them
no
are Dutch
relation
in any way.
To
yeah,
but Haas is not a US typical US name, is it? Well, true. It is, but in terms of originally, it's like Dutch origin, right?
Do you want to hear my banter that I prepared earlier? It was about Haas. Do you want to hear it?
God.
So this is from the Haas press release, and it just made me laugh that people actually think that people care about sort of press conference bollocks. So their press conference said, people see what we can do in Formula One and believe Haas Automation build world-class machine tools. The livery is a little bit of a return to what we had in our first car, the VF16. It's clean and precise, just like the machine tools made by Haas Automation. Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Haas.
Yeah, we're really, that doesn't justify how
but I guess
shite
like,
the livery is, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like that, all that PR stuff is kind of goes hand in hand with the launches and with testing and like how people talk about testing and how everyone thinks that testing is one of those weird things, right? Where we all know it's the first time we're properly seeing the cars on track, first time that we're seeing like race setups, fastest laps, like what's the top speed of these bad boys now? But like you can't glean anything from pre-season testing really, other than potentially reliability, because if they go for long, if they can't manage long stints, then absolutely they probably have something to worry about. But I mean, not including the fact that we had freak snow in Barcelona and no one could go out on track for a day, but there was a different teams were fastest each day. P people were, I mean, people clearly sandbag. Like, they're not going to put out everything that they can do on in testing, especially not the first week, because they show their cards and, you know, if Mercedes just comes out and absolutely nails it, then Ferrari
which
might,
they kind of did at the end.
Which they did at the end. And on medium tyres, which is something maybe we'll touch on in a second, but like it really amazes me how people still like, well, when
try
I say people,
work
but
it out, yeah.
They think that they know how the season's going to go from like one day of
testing.
They
analyze it, yeah.
And
it unless it's like last year when the McLaren Honda didn't even leave the pits without breaking down, then you're like, okay, they're going to have a bad year.
They're really sandbagging.
But apart from that, like no one really knew, did they, last year, what was going to happen.
And I mean, if you want to look into it, then you could say, well, it's business as usual at McLaren, and Toro Rosso Honda is actually looking pretty damn good.
Yeah.
The memes from that were awesome.
So they set the most laps of anyone in testing.
It's just the Alonso
insane
effect, isn't it? It really
I mean,
is.
I was watching that, the Amazon Prime thing. The
McLaren
did,
one.
Yeah. And the final episode is about testing last year, and Alonso goes out the pit lane, they have an oil problem, and he goes back in, and then they lose 7 hours, and then they come back out the track, and he has another oil problem, and he's back in, and that was like their first day, and Toro Rosso did like 90-something laps.
On their first day?
On their first day, no problem. They were the first team at the end of the pit lane, and there's that picture of Eric Boullier just staring
he
at
was
the Toro Rosso.
So annoyed in that picture.
Oh, it's so funny. But fair play to them. They've clearly... It makes you wonder, was it just the relationship between the two of them that just wasn't working rather than...
Yeah, possibly.
Well, I think they were brought in, weren't they, Honda, a bit too early. They were kind of like rushed into Formula One and that they actually planned to come in a bit later.
They always said that when they first started, like their first season back with McLaren, they were like, we're gonna need a few seasons to get this right. Mm-hmm. But obviously McLaren being McLaren are under huge pressures to perform. Mm-hmm. But again, we were talking about it as well, like, you know, before Hamilton left for Mercedes, McLaren were having appalling reliability issues with the Mercedes component. So you're just like,
well, everyone,
is there...
there's always the argument is, oh, if McLaren had the Mercedes engine, they'd win. They had the Mercedes engine in 2014, and
they won a few times.
They didn't win a race.
They could have won if they hadn't have had the reliability issues.
Yeah.
But they had massive reliability issues, and arguably, that was one of the reasons why Lewis jumped ship to Mercedes. Mm. So, and then we saw what happened with Mercedes. So, is it McLaren? Is there something not right in McLaren that means
deep
that...
Deep down, I do not want to believe that.
I think that's probably the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But just because, I mean, the same thing happened with Williams, right?
Yeah.
Williams were literally up here, like unbeatable. Something goes wrong, there's a change of personnel. And
it was
now,
the loss of Ron Dennis. There you go. Like, Ron Dennis.
Ross Brawn's got a new job nowadays, but honestly, he's just a fixer, right? Everyone needs a Ross Brawn. Oh, Tommy doesn't agree.
What, with Ross Brawn?
Ross Brawn?
Well, I don't know.
W.H. Smith one time.
No, just
yeah, when, before.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
I was working at W.H. Smith, and I think I was probably about 17, 18, and he's walked in. I've just gone. Literally, I was like, that's a hologram. There's not a chance that's Ross Brawn. So I told everyone that was on the tills as well, get out. I'm serving this guy. And then he came on. I think it was just before Brazil when I was literally shaking. I was like, how do you think you're going to Brazil? And that, I kind of, like a bag? And oh my God, he was like, yeah. And I was like, can I get your autograph? He was like, yeah, sure.
Did you ask for his autograph?
Yeah. And he gave it to me and I was like, right, and now I need to go have a lie down for the next 4 hours because I was hyperventilating.
Oh my God.
That was my first like interaction with someone from F1.
He was on our flight back from Italy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. First row.
Nice coming back from Nico Rosberg.
He had some leg room.
Yeah, with his champagne.
It's so funny seeing like F1 personnel like not in
when we
F1.
Landed in Abu Dhabi and we were, and we were walking Boulier. Up and Eric Boulier is just standing at the end of the walkway
and he was like, just chilling and we were it was one of those second glance moments because he wasn't obviously wearing he wasn't head to toe in McLaren gear he was just wearing normal clothes.
It's like teachers when you're in school, like you're like, you don't go home, you live on an F1 pit wall.
There was one year where Rosberg went to Goodwood and he just wore normal clothes and he just walked around. And he just like
don't
incognito
talk about
and
it's
like
just around.
But it shows that if they're not in their racing overalls and they're just wandering about, like
guess what, they're real humans.
They're real humans almost.
I know.
They're just like us.
Force India. Or not Force India. What are they gonna be called this season?
Force.
Good, Force thanks one. Jess. Yeah. Make sure you send that over to them, I'm sure they've never heard.
No, but that's
you reckon
that's
for, yeah, because they want to get rid of the India part, don't they?
Yeah, because they want to appeal to global brands. They tried to just appeal to Indian brands and bring like Indian companies.
They had like
board.
Kingfisher on one of their first.
Yeah, because that's VJ's thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like, well, you can tell like just if you just look at the evolution of Force India, they've gone from like, oh yeah, we'll probably have like Chandak or Karthikeyan in the car at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The car is just an Indian flag.
Yeah.
And then it's gone like...
Okay, we're pink
just,
now.
Yeah, we're pink now. It, well, even just Mexico, like with Perez, like brings all the Mexican sponsors, says Visit Mexico on the car, all the Mexican sponsors, and then like now just, pink.
Force Mexico, there you go.
Force Mexico. It'd just be called Force.
Any other ties for any other countries, do you know? Like Force Zimbabwe
Force,
or something?
Force Worldwide.
Force worldwide.
That sounds like some kind of like American
delivery
Secret
company.
Service.
I was going to say delivery like company, Secret like FedEx or something.
It's just a bunch of guys turn up in suits handing you your package and go, package has been delivered.
Pink
and then they
suits,
leave.
Though.
Pink suits.
Pink
yeah,
suits.
Pink suits.
But yeah, who knows? When they're meant to be announcing it before Australia.
Yeah,
right?
But you're only allowed to rename your team every 10 years or something. So they're having to go through a lot of legal.
Oh really? So does that if it's I suppose if it's changing name, it's normally changing owner as well. Is that?
Yeah, but it's not changing owner. I think that's where the problem lies.
Tommy with the insider.
Okay. So speaking of changes, what about Lewis Hamilton? Do you think he'll be rocking the dreadlocks coming into Melbourne?
Well, he had them. I saw his Instagram story the other day, and he had half a race suit on and was wearing had his dreadlocks.
Yeah.
I was like.
He did have his dreadlocks.
Yeah, because then for the launch, he didn't have them. That man's hair must
be.
Are
they extensions?
Horrible.
Is he wearing dreadlock extensions?
Well, no, because
you can see the hairs.
His head is like bald, where everything's being into. Unless he's wearing a bald cap and then dreadlocks.
But
on
he
top.
Normally.
That's a great look.
You can tell like in recent races where he's like, he takes his helmet off and he's like that, like trying to put the cap on like before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, you tried spending that long with a helmet on. I'm sure you would be wanting to fix your hair too. Matty, yours was looking a bit... you weren't even in the car that long and yours was looking...
Flat, yeah. dreadlocks is the next step, really, to keep the volume.
It must be painful with that dreadlock. Like, well, not painful, but uncomfortable. Because, of course, if it's, like not, if it's a normal
haircut...
I can't
believe this is the topic.
It's a great combo.
If it's a normal haircut, it kind of just... Smush. I would have thought dreadlocks are a bit hard. You've got a roll of just one there and one there. And
well, Grosjean used to have his big, like, Sideshow Bob afro hair. And he was fine.
So if he can do it, anyone can.
Exactly.
I really wish when he, like, pulled his helmet off that it properly just go... Boing.
Just went, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be so good.
So just quickly again on Lewis Hamilton, how do we think he's going to do this season? Not just because of the performance in the car, but also how he'll cope with Instagram and the social media debacle that he had.
It's again, it's like, oh.
Bearing in mind, Jess is a massive Lewis Hamilton fan, so probably you haven't crossed the other three names out on that t-shirt. Sorry, carry on, just a sort of disclaimer.
Okay, speaking as impartially as possible. I think, you know, he has probably the most scrutiny of any F1 driver ever, purely because he's transcended F1. Like, he's not just an F1 driver, he's a worldwide celebrity, and he does the things with fashion and music, and it must get to him because he's a human, and you know, having that much criticism on you, you're gonna feel it. But I think people have blown the whole Instagram thing out of proportion.
People care so much more when it's him as well.
Of course.
Like, if half of the stuff he's done, if it was, no offence to the others, but one of the other, is that Warforged?
Well, it's like if
we lost a camera.
We've lost Ali. See ya.
Bye.
I suppose if it was Bottas that was doing it, I don't think it would be as
big. Well, I watched a Sky Sports feature the other day. And
no one follows him. Sorry, can't notice. All right. No one would notice Bottas.
And it was Natalie Pinkham and Kimi Raikkonen.
Shout out to Natalie Pinkham.
Natalie Pinkham bins a car and Kimi Raikkonen goes, happens a lot when women are driving. And you go...
Who said that?
Kimmy.
Cool, yeah.
And if that was Hamilton, solid... that would be in the front cover of the Sun, front cover of the Daily Mail, and you just think, you just know it would.
Because Kimmy's like, oh, typical Kimmy.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, lol. And it's the same, like, everything Hamilton does is
scrutinized
to the tiniest point where he's essentially the same as, without going too far into it, like, the England football team, they just lay into them when there's like a World Cup on. They do it the same with Lewis when like the championship's on. It's like when he's winning, they're like, yeah, our hero, champion, blah, blah, blah. And then actually, the second he does something wrong, it's like, oh, he's a tax
just evader. He's partying too much and he's not focused on F1. He's a four-time world champion.
He's done he's gotta be pretty well, hasn't
like,
he?
And I'm convinced, like, I mean, I hope for F1's sake it's a tighter fight because I mean the beginning of last season it was really beginning of last year it was actually pretty exciting because it was literally flip-flopping between
that
him
could have
and
been
Seb.
One of the best seasons ever if it had stuck
was
as it was when they were just
Asia.
back and forth that would have been so good to go into that last race
and
with them.
I think it was the first season since the Mercedes dominance that you actually saw Mercedes weakness. So the car was too long and wide in for certain tracks. You know, they
not being
didn't,
able to follow an area.
They
as
didn't
well.
Deal well with
they
heat.
They got complacent with. I don't think they didn't know what to do when they weren't winning.
Yeah.
But they definitely had got complacent from knowing that they get pole every race, they win every race for those 3 years, and then the second something happened, like you started to see odd strategies and certain things. As soon as another car was in the mix. It was kind of like, oh, what, you know, like,
well,
they
what
were
do
even
we do?
Letting Bottas and Hamilton re-pass each other and overtake each other and things like that. And, yeah, it was, they clearly struggled with that.
But he didn't struggle on day four, fastest overall Hamilton. I'm sure you were happy about that, Jess.
Again, like, testing means...
nothing. Means
nothing.
Mean
like, whoever goes fastest in testing, it doesn't really matter.
It
also, it's been terrible conditions.
They were, he was 2/10 off his pole time. From last year
on medium tyres.
And in the track temperatures.
And the track
temperatures
being
that low. Which is my next point. How do you think the low temperatures would have affected testing? Because it's not representative at all to any of the tracks.
This is the thing. And the other thing was that they had already reduced the amount of testing days down to 8.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much data can you glean from 8 days? But then on top of that, how much data can you glean from 8 days with Arctic conditions like
well they had a vote to add an extra day for the snow day and one team said no
it had to be a unanimous
decision whoever thinks they're miles ahead already and are pretty confident Toro say they were just like no you're right and then they've not.
I suppose with less testing, though, it means that they're more likely going to get the feel of the car during the season. So it might mean that the season to begin with is closer because they haven't really tested the cars properly.
Or they're going to have one or two teams that have set up perfectly and the rest of the field is...
That's why they should ban practice.
Stick to world
still
you think they should ban practice?
100%.
That'd be good.
That'd be so much better.
Much more like
every F1 weekend when... It's raining in practice and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, the team's got no data, what they're going to do. And then the grid is a little bit mixed up for qualifying because they go straight in. Yeah, exactly. Bring it on.
That's another one of Bernie's ideas.
But seriously, if you ditch practice and they just have to do the car setups in the race, I think it'd be absolutely amazing. Two races, there you go.
Sprinklers. All
right, Bernie. Sprinklers.
But it's interesting though, because my my old housemate, Kate Snowball, shout out to Kate Snowball, she actually says that she prefers, because we go to races together, and we've been to quite a few now, but she says that she actually prefers Friday as a spectator, because you get to see more
more car action.
Car action. Well, hopefully.
And you're not stuck. So, like, when we went to Silverstone this year, I felt the same because Friday, like, end of Friday when they're doing, like, quali runs and stuff, or even, like, free practice three, you can roam around the whole track. You're not just stuck to your grandstand. You can go to Maggots and Beckett's, which is the greatest corner ever to watch the new cars go through.
Go flat.
And you can just stand right next to the fence and watch them fly through, and you just go, if this is qualifying, yes, it's tense when I watch it on TV, but I don't know what's going on anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes no difference. If you just want to see the cars, yeah, Friday.
I think, well, maybe just one practice session. It's more for, like, the show of F1, to have something fun for people to watch rather than just quali in a race. It means they can see more of the cars. Maybe they're getting more value for money in that sense, rather than, I mean, it's the ticket prices stay the same.
But then at the same time, so many people don't turn up. Like, they always always go on about, oh yeah, they need, like, more stuff for the show for thing. We need to put on Formula 2 and GP3. And you stay on Saturday and watch the GP3 race, and like 95% of people have gone home.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, do they really care that much?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously slightly deviated from car launches and testing. Probably look to round it up now. So I'm going to go to each of you and just ask you, who do you think is going to be on top in Australia? We haven't learned much yet. We've still got another week of testing.
In terms of pole, however, or in terms of who's going to be on top of podium? So I'm just clarifying. Curious.
Ali getting.
You can tell he likes World
Endurance
Championship.
Just into the win. The win. Okay. Yeah, because pole doesn't really matter so much. Tommy, I want you to predict who's
so
in the team as well.
Boring to say Hamilton, but I think it's going to be Hamilton. But I really don't want it to be. I really want a close fight. So
all the Hamilton haters will be like, go Tommy, like in your prediction.
I don't dislike him. I just we need a season where he's not just...
Where he's made
to work for it.
Just like last year, in many senses.
Half the season.
Yeah, until Ferrari just decided to
second half of the season was a bit closer with Red Bull, so hopefully...
Hopefully Red Bull are up there.
Well, Daniel Ricciardo told us at COTA last year that this was his season. He was going to win this season. So.
And if he does, then I get some royalties or something. Because
well,
I mean,
he said it.
Yeah, but I asked the question. I made it happen. Okay? So it's fine. I'm just trying to get money. So, Jess, what about you?
In terms of Australia, I think Hamilton will probably clinch it.
What you think? Yeah.
Carlos Sainz is going to win, guys.
I've heard Jack Aitken's coming in, he's going to do it. No, I think Mercedes are probably like they seem a bit cooler on the setup in terms of having something prepared. I've not seen anything from Ferrari yet that makes me think that they are in the same playing field. I hope, like Tommy, like I might be a Lewis fan in my personal life, but when I'm thinking about it from the perspective of F1, like everyone wants a close season. Everyone wants a close. I hope it's a three-way battle. I hope it's Red Bull, Ferrari and Mercedes in terms of constructors. I hope we get a 2012 where we have a different winner every...
Nada comes back
and wins. Nada, yes! But yeah, I think Lewis. What about you?
Oh gosh, wow. I thought we were going to answer. I'm going to say Kimi Raikkonen's going to win the first race.
I was thinking Raikkonen.
My boy. I don't know.
So that's going to break down.
Are you literally just going, Kimi Raikkonen?
Yeah, I mean, my man Kimi, we spent some time in the simulator and I felt like he was really on it, you know, around Spa especially.
This is his season of literally make it or break it.
Well,
he's not going to be allowed to, though.
If he wins the first race, he'll be allowed to.
No, he won't.
Yeah,
but if Vettel's right behind him, they're going to be like, well...
Yeah, they'll switch him.
He won't get out of the way on the first race
of the
season.
There'll be multi-21 all over again.
They will bring him into the pits and they will give him a slow... They will. They'll make sure Vettel gets ahead because Kimi won't have the race pace to hold
Kimi
it.
Maybe Kimi will this year. All right.
Well, maybe he won't. Yeah. But you saw it in...
You're wrong.
Quite
okay.
So a man can dream.
Yeah.
I just want Vettel to have some kind of
competition. It would be nice for Kimi to win another race, but... Ferrari are always a one-man team, regardless of what they say.
I think some things would have to go down for Kimi to win. That's fair, but I'd just like Kimi to win another race, because I mean, at the end of last year, especially when we were at Abu Dhabi, and you know, I just saw how far Kimi was behind Vettel, and I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. He was getting hounded by a Red Bull. I was like, oh, come on, Kimi. But I think it's just the car doesn't suit him. So hopefully this year, maybe he will.
This is his year.
Actually, you're going to say Kimi as well?
Yeah, I was going to say Kimi as well, but then because
everyone shot me down, you're going to go with someone else.
No, I was thinking Kimi, but then I was also thinking, well, as much as I'd love Kimi to get it, and I think that he could do it, I think Ferrari would fuck him over, and it would have to go to Vettel. So I think Vettel will be on the top step of the podium. But wow. I think it'll be a Ferrari 1-2.
Can we make a bold prediction, seeing as though ours was so boring and just went for Mercedes on Toro Rosso top five.
Tommy, so...
you think Toro Rosso will be top five?
100%. Really?
They always do.
With who? Who do you
I don't know, but they always do really well in Australia. They tend to like lose it on development, and I genuinely think that Toro Rosso will get top five.
Very young drivers, like newbie drivers though.
I wouldn't say Hartley.
Max was a noob. Vettel was a noob.
True.
Gasly's pretty.
Who else should be on the podium for you, Jess?
Who should be on the podium?
Who else will be on the podium with Lewis?
Vettel and Ricciardo.
Wow, best friend. Well, I think it's going to be a Ferrari 1-2, and I think third will be... I'm going to say Verstappen, just to throw it out there.
You're literally just picking names out, aren't you? The names that you like.
No, honestly, I think...
You're just going, Ali
knows three drivers. Ali's, Ali's looking at Jess's T-shirt going, Sebastian. Who are the other F1 drivers?
Just need to add Ricciardo down here.
Yeah. Yeah. No one said Fernando. It's not going to happen.
I'm going to go with Kimi, Lewis, and then Fernando Alonso.
Alonso, out of nowhere. Yeah,
my boy Alonso, he's going to do it.
Do you think they'll... actually do all right?
I hope so. I really do. I think they will be much more competitive. I think they'll get podiums this year.
McLaren?
Yeah.
They've got a big benchmark with Red Bull, though. I think that's where they're going to embarrass themselves.
Or not!
Jess
didn't particularly...
I love McLaren. I'm from
Bristol. No, I wasn't saying you didn't like McLaren, but you didn't believe that they could get a podium this year.
I just don't think they're ready. I don't think they're ready.
When Lewis left, she was like, bugger off. I don't need you anymore.
No, don't say that, because I'll literally be lynched by everybody from Brooksworth. But no, I just think, like, it kind of goes back to what we were saying about the whole, you know, partnership thing. It would be great for McLaren to be up there because of the historical reasons and whatever, but if they don't get their shit together, they're not going to be up there. And yeah, okay, like Alonso was looking pretty pacey. Alistair showing
up.
No, I think, you know, Alonso was looking pretty pacey towards the end of last year, so maybe he'll get top five. I don't think he's going to get a podium.
Okay, well, we shall see.
In the whole year?
In the whole year.
Wow.
I'd go with that, though, to be fair. Yeah.
No, he's going to get at least one podium.
He's going to get one podium.
And well, we'll see who's right when we do our next podcast at the end of the season. Yeah.
We could do one before that. See you in a year.
Hopefully, if people like it and they actually want to watch it, we'll do it pretty regularly.
If this video gets more than 15 likes, we'll do another podcast.
If it doesn't, though,
a small YouTube channel.
And Toro Rosso get top five in Australia, I will record a video myself.
You'll just go home, upload it to WTF1. What is this? Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed. Let us know in the comments section all of the different opinions that you may have on all of the different things we've spoken about. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't see you, Alistair.
Can't see you.